The irony here is, if anybody claims that he can teach human beings, that will be marvelous because nobody can teach any human being. That was his belief. Socrates believed that to teach any human being is tremendously difficult for him. But here are so many people who appear to teach young people and they believe they can teach. So if there is somebody like Evenus who charges 20 guineas, I must say, it must be a very small fee, because to teach somebody is a very difficult thing, and only 20 guineas is nothing. Here perhaps one of you might interrupt me and say, but what is it that you do, Socrates? How is it that you have been misrepresented like this? Surely all this talk and gossip about you would never have arisen if you had confined yourself to ordinary activities, but only if your behavior was abnormal. Tell us the explanation, if you do not want us to invent it for ourselves. This seems to me to be a reasonable request, and I'll try to explain to you what it is that has given me this false notoriety. So please give me your attention. Perhaps some of you will think that I am not being serious, but I assure you that I am going to tell you the whole truth. Now he tries to explain why Socrates has come to be misrepresented. I have gained this reputation, gentlemen, from nothing more or less than a kind of wisdom. Now he claims I am a wise man. Because I am a wise man, therefore I have been disreputed. This is again an irony, because he wants to prove that he is actually not a wise man. But he starts by saying, look, I am a wise man, and therefore I have been misrepresented. Now he has explained the mystery of this claim. I read again. I have gained this reputation, gentlemen, from nothing more or less than a kind of wisdom. What kind of wisdom do I mean? Human wisdom, I suppose. It seems that I really am wise in this limited sense. Presumably, the geniuses whom I have mentioned just now are wise in a wisdom that is more than human. I don't know how else to account for it. I certainly have no knowledge of such wisdom, and anyone who says that I have is a liar and willful slanderer. Now, gentlemen, please do not interrupt me if I seem to make an extravagant claim. For what I am going to tell you is not my own opinion. I am going to refer you to an unimpeachable authority. Unimpeachable means that which cannot be challenged. I am going to refer you to an unimpeachable authority. I shall call as witness to my wisdom, such as it is, the god at Delphi. Pardon?
Can you just tell again the definition?
Unimpeachable, unchallengeable, unchallengeable. All right. Now he says, I am going to give witness to my claim that I am wise. That witness is not an ordinary witness, but God himself. He says, I shall call as witness to my wisdom the god at Delphi. The god at Delphi is a sun god in Greek, Apollo. Now he tells a story. You know Chariphon. Of course, he was a friend of mine from boyhood, and a good Democrat who played his part with the rest of you in the recent explosion and restoration. This is a story of 404 BC. This was just a few years before this trial. This trial is taking place in which year? No, yesterday you were not present, so you don't know. In which year this trial is taking place? Yes, correct. Which year is it? I told you yesterday, Socrates was born in 469 BC and he died in 399 BC, just after the trial. So this trial is taking place in 399 BC. So he says, he refers to an event which took place in 404 BC. What had happened at that time in Greek history, in the Athenian history? 50 oligarchs had taken the possession of the government. Oligarchs. I have deliberately used this word so that you may ask this question. Oligarchs. What is the word arch? Refers to rule. Like monarchy. You know the word monarch. You do? Monarch. Rule of one. Mono is one. Monarchy means rule of one. Now, olig means some. This is different from democracy. Demos means people. Rule of all people is called democracy. Rule of one is called monarchy. Rule of some is called oligarchy. Now, Athens was famous for democracy. And Sparta, I told you about Sparta yesterday. Sparta was famous for oligarchy. In 404 BC, Sparta defeated Athens. I spoke yesterday of a war between Sparta and Athens, which lasted for how many years? 27 years. That war, Peloponnesian War, lasted for 27 years. And Sparta won the war. So Sparta believed in oligarchy. Athens believed in democracy. But it's because Sparta won, Sparta imposed oligarchy in Athens. So 50 people took over the government and they acted high-handed. Killed so many people until Athens rose against them. They put them off and democracy was again restored. So Athens has now again become democratic. And this entire trial is held under democracy, where so many people are present. The whole population of Athens was allowed to be present in this court because of democracy. Now his friend, Chaerephon, he had resisted the oligarch and he had helped in the restoration of democracy. Yeah? If you read again page number 24, number 12. You see? Page number 24, footnote number 12. The rest, the recent expulsion, etc., refers to the event of 404 when the oligarchs, seizing power, murdered or drove out large numbers of their political opponents. These, under the leadership of Thrasybulus, presently gained a footing in Attica, defeated the oligarchs and restored democracy in the following year. So he refers to this friend of his who had also participated in the overthrow of the oligarchs and the restoration of democracy. You know Chaerephon, of course, he was a friend of mine from boyhood and a good democrat who played his part with the rest of you in the recent expulsion and restoration. And you know what he was like. How enthusiastic he was over anything that he had once undertaken. Well, one day, he actually went to Delphi and asked this question of the god. As I said before, gentlemen,
Please don't interrupt. He asked whether there was anyone wiser than myself. The priestess replied that there was none. As Chariphon is dead, the evidence for my statement will be supplied by his brother, who is here in court. Please consider my object in telling you this. I want to explain to you how the attack upon my reputation first started. When I heard about the oracle's answer, I said to myself, what does a god mean? Why does he not use plain language? I am only too conscious that I have no claim to wisdom, great or small. So what can he mean by asserting that I am the wisest man in the world? He cannot be telling a lie. It would not be right for him. After puzzling about it for some time, I set myself at last, with considerable reluctance, to check the truth of it in the following way. I went to interview a man with a high reputation for wisdom, because I felt that here, if anywhere, I should succeed in disproving the oracle and pointing out to my divine authority, you have said that I was the wisest of men. But here is a man who is wiser than I am. He wanted to disprove the deliverance of the god. So he said, I went to a man who was wiser than myself, and I wanted to interview him so as to prove that he is wisest. Well, I gave a thorough examination to this person. I need not mention his name, but it was one of our politicians that I was studying when I had this experience. And in conversation with him, I formed the impression that although in many people's opinion, and especially in his own, he appeared to be wise, in fact he was not. Then, when I began to try to show him that he only thought he was wise and was not really so, my efforts were resented both by him and by many of the other people present. However, I reflected as I walked away, and I said, well, I am certainly wiser than this man. It is only too likely that neither of us has any knowledge to boast of. But he thinks that he knows something which he does not know, whereas I am quite conscious of my ignorance. At any rate, it seems that I am wiser than he is to this small extent, that I do not think that I know what I do not know. After this, I went on to interview a man with an even greater reputation for wisdom. And I formed the same impression again. And here too I incurred the resentment of the man himself and a number of others. From that time on, I interviewed one person after another. I realized with distress and alarm that I was making myself unpopular, but I felt compelled to put my religious duty first. Since I was trying to find out the meaning of the oracle, I was bound to interview everyone who had the reputation for knowledge. And by dog, gentlemen, for I must be frank with you, my honest impression was this. It seemed to me, as I pursued my investigation at the god's command, that the people with the greatest reputations were almost entirely deficient, while others who were supposed to be their inferiors were much better qualified in practical intelligence. I want you to think of my adventures as a sort of pilgrimage undertaken to establish the truth of the oracle once for all.